Thank you for listening to Breakthrough Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message brought to you by Daryl Reed. For more podcasts, news, and other events, please visit breakthroughlife.co.za.
It's a good day, and the Lord is doing wonderful things. How many of you guys were around last weekend when we celebrated the victory of the cross and the resurrection? Wasn't it just a beautiful time as we gathered on Friday and then again on Sunday? And just so grateful for what the Lord is doing. And he's really just pouring out his Holy Spirit upon the church, upon us. And these are exciting days to be alive. They really, really are. Before I jump into the word this morning, John and Lisa send their love. They are down with a bit of a flu bug at the moment, and so they're resting. Chris is also down, and I know a number of others have been sick. So we're going to keep trusting the Lord for breakthrough and healing, and grateful for you healthy ones that are with us this morning. But in Joel chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 28 to verse 29. But as we speak to different church leaders across the country, as we've visited different churches, we're just seeing all over the place that God is moving and that there's this freshness in the realm of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit is just kind of stirring his people. And there's this excitement, there's this hunger, there's this longing for him, which the Holy Spirit is stirring in his people. Has anyone noticed that? Thank you for the five that have. The scripture says we're two or more in agreement. We have an unstoppable force. Nothing can stop what God is doing. So he has this prophetic word from the Old Covenant, the book of Joel, chapter 2. It says, "And afterward I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." There's this prophetic word about what God wants to do, God's desire for mankind, that he will be able to one day pour out his spirit upon all people, and that all people, when we are receiving the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to prophesy. Sons and daughters will prophesy. So we're going to go on a bit of a journey over here quickly, because last weekend we celebrated the cross, we celebrated the resurrection, and then post the resurrection, for the next 40 days, Jesus appears to his disciples. We can read, I think it's 8 different accounts where Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, and he's teaching the message of the kingdom. I referenced the road to Emmaus earlier on when we closed our worship. And so even on the one account, Jesus appears to a group of about 500 people. We see this in the book of Corinthians. And so Jesus, for 40 days, is appearing before he then ascends after 40 days after his death, burial, resurrection. And then 10 days later, another significant thing happens. But let's have a look at the scriptures here, because we see Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptizer, he's speaking about what is to come. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Again, as we close the worship, we reference that your heart starting to come alive and burn with passion, with a fire. The Holy Spirit pours out fire with his presence upon us, in us, through us, that there's this passion that gets ignited. John the Baptizer talking about Jesus that's going to come, and what is he going to do? He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. We then see Jesus telling us about what is to come. So Joel prophesies it in the Old Covenant. John the Baptizer speaks of what is to come by Jesus. Now Jesus himself, he's now telling his disciples what is to come. And we read this account in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, as Luke is retelling what Jesus had said. So he says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So this is Jesus. Now, final words he's giving to the disciples before his ascension. He's died, he's been buried, he's resurrected, he spends 40 days with the disciples, and now this is his final message before he ascends up to heaven. What is he speaking about? That there's a promise. There's a Holy Spirit that's yet to come. And there's a command: wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And so the disciples do this. In Acts chapter 2, the next chapter, we read the account of this promise that was promised from Joel, spoken about by John the Baptizer, spoken about by Jesus. And now it happens in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The day of Pentecost, it's seven sevens, it's 50 days after the resurrection. And so this is the day that we celebrate. On the 19th of May, we'll celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Joel prophesies it. John the Baptizer speaks about it. Jesus speaks about it. And now we read it happens. Acts chapter 2, it happens. It's still happening. It hasn't stopped happening. Jesus is still pouring out the Spirit upon his church. We see this a little bit later on in the book of Acts again. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 6. I know I'm covering a lot of scripture, but track with the story. Let's read Acts 19. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now let's go right back to the beginning of where we started today. Joel chapter 2, the longing of God. What was the longing? That he will pour out his Spirit upon who? All people. And what is the fruit of him pouring out his Spirit upon all people? That my sons and daughters will prophesy. Are there any sons and daughters here? If you believe in Father God, in Jesus, you're a son, you're a daughter, you've been adopted into his royal family. We're sons, we're daughters. And so he wants all of his sons and daughters to be able to prophesy. And so the Lord's kind of working this whole thing together that we as his people might be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a supernatural life, and that we will see the Lord working through us, that the Holy Spirit will flow through us, and that we will see God do incredible and wonderful things. Now with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, just to quickly touch on it, it means to be like fully submerged. It's like when the Titanic went under, it was baptized. It was fully submerged. That's kind of what that word means. It's like if you had to take a white shirt and you had to baptize it in a red dye. You don't just touch the corner of the shirt in and the whole shirt becomes red. No, you dunk that whole white garment into a bucket of red dye. And what happens is while that red or that white shirt is in the red dye, it changes. It takes on the nature of the very thing it's being baptized in. That white shirt starts to take on the nature of the red dye. And when it comes up out of that dye, well, it's no longer white. It's taken on a new nature from the thing it was baptized in. It's now a red garment. It's now a red shirt. You see, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything about us changes because we take on the nature of the one we've been baptized in. We get totally transformed. That's why the scripture says we're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Using the analogy, the white has gone, you are now red. New nature, new creation. It's what happens when we get baptized. And as we get filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, these are good days to pray for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think on Pentecost Sunday, 19th of May, we're gonna take time and we're going to pray for those that haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes a whole bunch of amazing gifts. Come on, anyone like gifts? Anyone, you know, gifts is your love language. See, God knew you, and so he has gifts for you. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the beautiful thing is that these gifts are not there just for your sake, but they're there for everyone else's sake. And so with these gifts that we get in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get to do things that we can't ordinarily do. And so we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, as Paul's teaching to the church in Corinth about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as he's bringing some structure, some order. And what does he do as he starts out his teaching on the gifts? He says in verse 1, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." This is God speaking to us. Breakthrough Life Church, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you to be informed. I want you to know. I want you to understand. Carries on in verse 7. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given, that you can be high and mighty and powerful, that you can receive your gift because it's your love language, because it makes you feel comfortable, because it makes you feel powerful." No, why do you receive the gift? What is it there for? It's there for the common good. That means that God has gifted you, and you're gifted not for your sake, but you're gifted for the person sitting next to your sake. You're gifted not for your sake alone, but you're gifted for the sake of the person in the office cubicle next door to you, or for the children in your classroom, or for the person that lives next door to you. You're gifted not for your sake, but you're gifted for the common good. We jump then to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but before we jump to the chapter 14, we mustn't forget chapter 13, because what is 1 Corinthians chapter 13? It's the chapter of love. It's the chapter that's often read and preached about at weddings. But actually the context here is in the context of operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that when we're operating in the gifts, that love is the foundation and the driving force behind all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the driving force behind all ministry. You see, when we operate in the gifts in the absence of love, well, what does it say? We're just a resounding gong. Just makes a noise that disappears. There's no fruit. And so 1 Corinthians 12, don't be uninformed about the gifts. The gifts are there for the common good. Chapter 13, the chapter about love, that we do and we move and we operate in the gifts because of our love for one another and our love for the Lord. The love that we have from the Lord is what drives us. It's what compels us. It's what inspires us to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We then get to chapter 14, and now Paul says, follow the way of love. All of the things that are so beautifully put out in terms of describing what love is in chapter 13. Now follow that, and while you're doing that, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So we're told, don't be uninformed. We're told that the gifts are for the common good. We're told that we're supposed to operate in the gifts from a heart and a position of love. And now we're being told that we're to eagerly desire the gifts. That means that there's a responsibility upon us. That means we have to do something, because if you're eagerly desiring something, it means you're longing for something, you're seeking for something, you're pursuing something. You have some action that's required. It's not that you just sit back and wait for God to do everything. No, you're leaning in and you're saying, okay, God, you said we're to eagerly desire the gifts. And so I'm doing that. I want to receive the gifts that you have for me through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit, but there's gifts, and I want to unlock these gifts. I want to desire these gifts. I want to operate in these gifts. And which gift should we desire the most? The gift of prophecy. Can you see again? We're going back to Joel chapter 2. Holy Spirit will be poured out upon my people, all people, and sons and daughters will prophesy. Now we're being told we should eagerly desire the gifts, and especially the gift of prophecy. And now you're sitting there, and maybe you're visiting, maybe it's your first time in church, and you're saying, what is this preacher going on about? I don't even know what prophecy is. So prophecy is very simple. It's just hearing a message from God for someone else. In the same way as if, someone comes and gives you a message to pass on to someone else, maybe Your mom or dad, they don't know how to use WhatsApp, and so someone's trying to get hold of them, and they WhatsApp you as the son or daughter to say, please tell your mom and dad this and this and that. You're a messenger via WhatsApp. You see, some of us don't yet know Jesus. Some people that maybe live next door to you, that work next door to you, they don't yet know the Father. They don't know that there's a God in heaven who speaks and that he wants to speak to us. They don't know that he has a crown of love and compassion that he wants to give them. And so their WhatsApp is broken. They're not able to receive communication. And so you get to receive a message from the Lord and then convey that message to those people that are not able to hear or receive for themselves. And so that's all it is. It's just hearing from God and sharing God's message, God's heart, to someone else. We stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, because now the scripture maps out what is this gift there for. So we're getting messages and we're sharing messages from the Lord. How do we do this? It says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So yeah, the scripture is mapping out very plainly what the gift of prophecy is there for. We're hearing messages from the Lord for people, and those messages are messages of strength, messages of courage, messages of comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I know there's no one in the room yet today, but I had a sense that maybe there's one person, it might be someone online, that you might know someone that needs strength or courage or comfort. I know there's no one in the room. But there might be someone. Is there anyone in the room that knows someone that might need strength, courage, comfort? Okay, I see one hand. Okay, oh goodness, okay. All right, there are more than what I thought. Come on, I'm pretty sure every single one of us in the room needs strength, needs courage, needs comfort in some way, shape, or form in our life. And how much more the people living in our city that don't even know Jesus, how much more do they need strength? Do they need courage? Do they need comfort? Because we've got the security of knowing we've got a Father that loves us. Every Sunday we gather together, we encourage one another, we receive instruction, we receive encouragement. And so we've got so much reason to be encouraged and to live a life of hope. But for those that don't yet know Jesus, man, they need hope. They need strength. They need courage. And you know what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You carry the hope that they need. You carry the life that they need. You carry the strength, the comfort, the encouragement that they need. And you carry it in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we've got gifts. And what do we do with these gifts? We're living in the day that God longed for in Joel chapter 2. We are living in that day. These are exciting days to be alive. So, so exciting. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. You see, there's things we've received in the Holy Spirit, and what are we to do with these things? We're to put them into practice. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15, it says, do not neglect your gift. Let's just pause over there. We've been told that we shouldn't be uninformed, that you've got a gift, and it's not for your sake, it's for the common good. We've been told that we're to eagerly desire the gifts, and especially the gift of prophecy. And now we're being told that we shouldn't neglect the gift either, because some of us, perhaps you received a gift maybe 30 years ago, maybe you operated in the gift for a little while, but perhaps now you've neglected it. And so we're being encouraged here in the book of Timothy that we should not neglect the gift. We shouldn't let it lying there just getting full of dust. But no, we need to put the gift to practice. Let's carry on here. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. You see, we're to not neglect the gift, but we're to practice the gift. We're to give ourselves wholly to operating in the gifts, and there should be progress that should be visible, that the people in your home group, your community connect group, that the people that you have coffee and tea with, your friends, your family, they should be able to see your progression in the gift. This is challenging, right? Because it's a little bit like going to gym, operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine if you go to gym and on day number one, you haven't been in a gym for 15 years. You walk into the gym, big stuff. And you remember 15 years ago, you used to curl the 30 kgs because you were strong. And you think, okay, I haven't been in gym for a while. Let me just go for the 15 kgs, half of what you used to be, and you pick up the 15 kgs and you can't even hold the dumbbell that falls out your hand because your grip strength isn't strong enough. And so, okay, let's just go a little bit lower. And so you eventually end up with the 5 kgs and you curl the 5 kgs and next morning comes and you feel like someone has broken your arms. You can't move. You can't type. You have to type at your computer like this because you can't bend your elbow. And now you choose to be diligent. You choose to not neglect the health of your body. And so every day you go to gym. And every day you go back to those 5 kgs and you pick them up and you exercise those 5 kgs for the next 30 years. You just stay with the 5 kgs. Is that progress? No. Now, I'm using a silly example, but I want to stir us and challenge us to say, some of us, I think we've got stuck on the 5 kgs. We're like, yeah, I'm operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I'm still moving it. I'm still working out. You might still be working out, but are you progressing? Are you picking up the 6 kgs and the 7 and the 10? And are you getting to the 30 kgs looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Holy Spirit version? You see, we're called to progress in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we'll move forward, that we will grow, that we will mature, that we'll become more accurate, more powerful, more frequent in operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect your gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not neglect the gift. Eagerly desire the gift. Fan the gift into flame. We have a responsibility to do something with the gifts that we have from the Lord. We like to remind us here at Breakthrough that we're all in full-time ministry. Anyone ever heard that before at Breakthrough? You're in full-time ministry? If you haven't heard it, you haven't been around long enough. You're all in full-time ministry. What does that mean? That means that we're all called to be ministers of the Lord every day, not just on Sunday morning. You see, in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 2, verse 9, it says that we are a royal priesthood. That means that you are part of his royal family. He's invited you into his family. He's adopted you. You're his sons, you're his daughters, but he's also made you a priest. Now, a priest is not only someone that serves in a more traditional church and wears a dress. A priest is you. You are a priest. Because what is the responsibility of a priest? That you'll be a minister unto God, but you'll also be a minister from God unto one another. And so we've become a royal priesthood. You're in full-time ministry because the Lord wants you to be a priest in your workplace. The Lord wants you to be a priest in your school. The Lord wants you to be a priest in your street, in your neighborhood, in your community. He wants you to be a priest in your city that you might be a source of hope, of encouragement, of comfort, of life to the people that are around you, because you're gifted not for your sake, you're gifted for their sake. I mean, imagine now if this was building school. The Bible uses picture language to describe the church, and one of the common pictures we have about the church is that we're a building. And so if we're building the body, Jesus is building his body, his church. But if we're in building school and we're learning how to construct a house, imagine if every day we went to class, went to lectures, and all we learned was theory. And we never, ever, ever actually got our hands dirty and figured out how do you actually mix the mortar? How much sand, how much water, how much cement? What does it feel like? How do you place the bricks? How do you get a straight line? How do you pour the foundation? How do you dig the foundation? Imagine if it was all just theory and we never actually got practical. Well, I think the first time we try to build a house, it probably wouldn't be a very stable, strong house. Probably it would fall over at some point. Would you agree with me? You see, when we come to church, we can't just talk theory all the time. Sometimes we've got to get practical. We can't just talk about all the things that we need to do. Sometimes we need to do the things that we're called to do, because this is a place of equipping. See, my job, John's job, we're not called to do all the stuff ourselves. No, we're called to equip you to do all the stuff. And so part of the equipping is if we just tell you about the stuff that you need to do and never actually let you do it and show you how to do it, well, then we're not really doing our jobs. And we're not fulfilling the full call that we have as a body, as a church. And so we're going to get practical this morning. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So when it comes to this gift of prophecy that we've been instructed to eagerly desire, to seek, to not neglect, but to pursue, we're going to operate in that gift a little bit this morning. And as we do that, I just want to encourage us as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, it says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good." So we're going to do this in a little while. I'm going to coach us how to do it. I'm going to pray that there will be an equipping for you to be able to do it. And when we do it, some of us are going to prophesy for the first time today. It's going to be glorious. And that means we're going to make some mistakes, and that's okay. The scripture even tells us that we see in part, we prophesy in part, and so no one sees the full picture. And that's why the scriptures very clearly tell us that we need to weigh, we need to judge, we need to test the prophetic words that we receive. And so the onus is on you as a receiver of a prophetic word to test that word prayerfully before the Lord. That you'll bring it before him and say, "Okay, God, this is the word I received. Help me to discern what is good, what is right, what is from you, and perhaps maybe where did the person make a mistake?" Because we're going to make mistakes today. And so the safety net is that we as the receivers, we weigh, we judge, we test all prophetic words. It doesn't matter who it comes from, we test all the words. James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Oh, that's a challenging scripture verse right there. If we merely just listen to the word, we can fall into a deception, because there's a greater understanding, a greater dimension of truth that we step into when we do the word and we don't just listen to the word. So this morning we're going to do the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Let's just pause on that for a moment. I mean, that's a crazy analogy, isn't it? I mean, imagine this morning, you're the latecomer. So you slept in late, you had a coffee or a breakfast, you got dressed, you put your Sunday best on, you looked in the mirror to check how you look, and you turn aside from the mirror and you're like, oh, did I get dressed yet this morning? Did I brush my hair? Wait, have I got hair? What do I look like again? That's what it's saying it's like when we don't practice the word. We can carry on with the last verse over there. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. If we want to walk in the blessing of the Lord, we've got to do something with what we've received. We've got to put to practice what we've received. We've got to fan into flame the gift that we've received. We've got to eagerly desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, especially prophecy. And when we've got it, we need to not neglect it, but we need to steward it that we might progress in the gift and grow and mature. And so, a couple ground rules before we get practical. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, we've covered. Prophecy is there to strengthen. It's there to encourage. It's there to comfort. And so if you share a word this morning that is out of line or out of order, it doesn't fulfill one of those three requirements, strengthening, encouraging, comforting, then don't share it. You're not allowed to share it. It's outside of the boundaries of what is in play for this gift of prophecy. The other thing where we is out of order is if you prophesy that anyone's going to have a hatch, a match, or a dispatch. That means someone's going to fall pregnant, hatch, someone's going to find their marriage partner, a match, or that you're their marriage partner, or that someone's going to die. That is out of bounds. And so if we find you doing that, then we're going to give you the right hand of fellowship. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that, but we will please ask you if you do it again that we will not allow you around here because you're not keeping to the rules of the house. And so these are the rules of the house that we see set out in Scripture. This is to create an environment of safety so that we can learn, so that we can grow, that we can progress in the gift. And to do that, we need to have a safe environment for that to take place. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to put Psalm chapter 23. If you've got your Bible, open up to Psalm 23. I know I've read a lot of Scripture, but I haven't asked you to read with me yet. So open up your Bible, whether you've got an app or a paper version, to Psalm chapter 23. Because what we're going to do now is we're going to use Psalm 23 as an inspiration to give a prophetic, encouraging word to someone else this morning. And so we see this through the Scriptures. We see Jesus, I think it's 78 times, quoting or referencing the Old Covenant. So Jesus used the Scriptures to speak, to teach, to prophesy, to speak life. We're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Psalm chapter 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. All right, I'm going to quickly show us how to do this, and I'm going to give a word to a number of people. So if you're a business owner and you feel that there's been like a spiritual attack or you're in a spiritual battle in your business workplace, not personally, but you're a business owner and you feel that you're not just going through a difficult time. It's not that just the economy's down. You feel that there's almost a spiritual attack against you. Is there anyone that you feel that this morning? Could I ask you to raise your hand? Okay, why don't you all of you stand? I felt that there would be a few of you this morning. And so the word I have for you is from verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And I felt that the Lord is going to be pouring out wisdom. His anointing on your head speaks of his wisdom coming upon you, that you will have practical wisdom and solutions to overcome the obstacles that are being brought against you, and that with the wisdom and the anointing that the Lord brings, you will overcome and you will see breakthrough. And we pray that your portion may be that your cup overflows. Amen. God bless you guys. The scripture also says that those that seek wisdom, it's James 1:5, I think, that the Father is good and faithful. He gives wisdom to those that ask. So seek the Lord for wisdom, and may that be your portion. So that's how we do it. I used the scripture, used a verse that the Lord highlighted to me for a particular group of people, and then used that to give an encouraging prophetic word. You guys ready? Why don't you stand and put your hands up, because I'm going to pray that this gift gets poured out into our lives, that we will receive this gift in a new and fresh, powerful way. And so whether you've operated in this gift for decades, we want to ask the Lord for more, that we will progress. If you've never operated in this gift, we're going to say, Lord, well, the scripture says that I'm supposed to eagerly desire this gift. I don't know what that looks like. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit afraid. But I know that the scripture also says that you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And so, Lord, I want to be obedient because I want to put your kingdom first in my life. You in agreement? Yes. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the promise that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and we live in that day. We live in that day. We're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for the outpouring, the baptism of Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of Holy Spirit that accompany this baptism. And we this morning eagerly desire the gifts, Lord. And we eagerly desire, especially the gift of prophecy, that you will speak to us and that we will be able to speak your message, your heart to others. Thank you, Lord. And so we thank you for an outpouring, for just a fresh awakening, and for the gift of prophecy to be released into every heart in this room and online this morning. Receive from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So as you're still receiving, it's a little bit like what I do with my girls. I often call my girls, and they're 7 and 4, and I'll call one of them or both of them. I'll say, girls, come here. Quickly, stop what you're doing. Come here. This is important. And they come, and normally they first respond a little bit like, what's going on? Why is Dad getting so serious with us? Come sit on my lap. Come over here. I need to tell you something very important. This is really, really important. Look at me in my eyes. Don't look around. Look at me in my eyes. Daddy loves you. And they say, we know, Daddy. You tell us every day. You see, the heart of a father is just to tell his children how much he loves them. And their sons and daughters next to you right now, and Father wants to tell them how much he loves them and that he's got them and that he wants to strengthen them, encourage them, and comfort them. And you know what? He wants you to receive that strength, courage, and comfort, but he also wants you to be the messenger that gives that strength, that courage, and that comfort. Amen? He's a good Father, and he has good intentions for us. So if you're online, what you can just do is you can maybe take out your address phone book and ask the Lord, who needs an encouraging prophetic word today? And then send them a WhatsApp text and go ahead, be a source of strength, encouragement, and comfort. For those in the room, what we're going to do is first row is going to turn to second row, third to fourth, fifth to sixth. And so you'll be facing someone and you're going to pair up. So pair up with someone is what we're doing right now. As you turn around, you need a partner because we're going to practice operating in this gift because we don't want to be deceived. We want to do what we've learned. So if you haven't got a partner, put your hand up and find someone else with their hand raised, and that's your partner. All right. Everyone got a partner? If you haven't got a partner, look around the room for someone else with their hand raised. All right, so what we're going to do, once you've got a partner, choose who's going to go first. You're going to use Psalm 23, or you can use a different scripture if the Lord speaks to you through a different scripture, but we're going to use scripture to give a prophetic word, a strengthening, encouraging, or comforting word. And choose who's going first. I'm going to give you just 60 seconds each, and then after that, we'll swap and have a chance to receive. So thank you, Lord, that you speak. 1, 2, 3, go. All right. First person, stop. Second person, it's your chance to prophesy. So the person that just received is now going to give a prophetic word. And you got a minute. Go for it. All right. Stay standing, but turn around. Face back to the stage. How many of you received an encouraging, strengthening, comforting, prophetic word? Wow, look around the room. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, let's celebrate the Lord. He's a speaking God. He's not a mute idol. He's not a dead tree. He's alive and he speaks and he's speaking. It's kind of like there's frequency, radio frequency in the room. If we tuned our antenna into that frequency, we could hear what's being broadcast on that frequency. God is a speaking God and he's speaking all of the time. And so we're able to tune into the frequency of heaven and hear what God is saying and deliver messages on behalf of him. Now, let's not get South African, okay? Because what do we normally do when you speak to a friend or, you know, a neighbor, you hear bad news. You hear of someone that's in need of strength, that's in need of courage, that's in need of comfort. And what do you say? Yo, ah, shame, man. Yo, shame. Yo, yo, that's hectic, eh? Yo, shame. Yo, yo. Ish. Yo, hey, shame, it's hectic. Yo. All right, so you've been equipped now. The next time when you hear someone needing strength and courage or comfort, you don't give them the South Africanism. Yo, ish, hectic, man. No, what do? You say, man, you won't believe it, but I've got a word for you. I've got a word of strength, of courage and comfort for you, because I know a God and he's a speaking God and he wants to change this situation. He's got life for you in this situation and he wants to transform this situation. Come on. So we're going to do this one more time because the scripture tells us that we need to practice these gifts. So maybe everyone that was facing the back will now take 2 steps to your right and you'll have a new partner in front of you. If you're at the end of the auditorium, then swing all the way around to the other side. But the point is, find a new partner. Not someone that you know, not someone that you came with, because we're going to practice this again. So we're going to do it a second time. We're going to use Psalm 23 or a scripture to give a prophetic word. I really want to encourage you, step out and do this, and you will find that the Lord wants to speak to you. You got to engage with it, overcome the fear, take the step of risk, and you'll see the Lord moving. If you haven't got a partner, put your hand up, look around the room for someone else with their hand raised. I'm going to give you guys 60 seconds for the first person to go. 1, 2, 3, go for it. All right. First person should stop. Second person can go. You got 60 seconds. Go for it. All right. Shh. I think this must be a sign. The rain being poured out. The Lord's pouring out his spirit upon his people. How many of you received another encouraging, strengthening, comforting word? Come on, there's a God and he's speaking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want to encourage you. The Lord speaks in a variety of ways. He speaks through scripture, as we've just discovered now. The Lord speaks in pictures. Sometimes in your spirit eye, you'll see a picture. The Lord wants to speak through that. Sometimes you'll see a vision. It's like a motion moving something. The Lord will speak through visions that you see. The Lord will speak through dreams, dreams in the nighttime, daydreams. The Lord wants to speak to you. The Lord speaks through color. Color has meaning. The Lord speaks through numbers. Numbers have meaning. The Lord speaks through our senses, our smell, our feelings, our emotions. The Lord speaks in a variety of ways. Let me quickly tell you one quick testimony as we close. When we were building this auditorium, We were building for cash. We felt the Lord say we needed to build for cash, and that was the approach we needed to take. And so we reached the point where we'd poured the foundation. We were now starting to brick up the walls that are downstairs holding up the building. And so we said to the building contractor, what is the cost for the building of the bricks, and how many weeks do you think it'll take? And let's build in a bit of provision for some extra time. We know there's often delays, rain, and etc. We get the total number of weeks, the total cost of the brickwork, and we say, okay, that's what it is. I'm sitting in my office. I take the total number of weeks, the total cost divided by the number of weeks, punch it in my calculator, equals. The number comes to 55,555 rand, exactly. Now you see the number five has a meaning, and it means grace. And five fives is like double portion grace. God was saying to us, I've got this, and I've got you. And so we didn't have the money, but we built all the walls, and the money came as we needed it and more than. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord speaks in so many ways. When we were finishing the auditorium upstairs, one of the last things we were doing, I was at a kind of hardware store buying a whole bunch of little consumable things, nuts, bolts, screws, little things like that. It was 10 or 12 items, and ring it up at the till, and what does the amount come to? 555 rand and 50 cents. And look at what till number? Till number five. Five fives. Come on, Jesus. The Lord is speaking all the time, and He wants to open up our hearts, our spirit, to see, to be aware, to be alert, and to share messages on His behalf. And so I want to encourage you, go about this week and say, Lord, will you speak to me? Maybe get up a little bit earlier in the morning and say, Lord, will you speak to me that I might give a word of strength and courage or comfort to someone I meet today? And then as you go about your day, be on the lookout for that person, that you might be a blessing to them. And if they don't know Jesus, or maybe once you've given them an encouraging word, tell them about Jesus and maybe lead them in a salvation prayer that they might come to know the Lord.